All right. Good morning, everybody. Hey, thank you guys so much for joining us this morning for our Palm Sunday party. It's also March Madness. How many of you have brackets that are trashed? Does anybody else do the March Madness brackets? Raise your hand if you've got a bracket. Really? I am so disappointed. All right. Now, put your hand down if your bracket is trash. All right. How many of you are actually doing pretty good? Anybody? All right. I didn't want to do this, but I'm going to do it. I'm in the top 90%. And where's Ross? Ross is beating me. He's 94.6 or something. Ridiculous. Mathematics, engineers, smart people. He's probably got some algorithm or formula that determine who would win the national championship. So anyway, so it's March Madness. So I just had to use a basketball as an illustration, which will all make sense more in a little bit. Thanks, Dan. And so what we're going to do is we're continuing our series this week called Push Me, Pull Me. And so the premise of the series is really simple. There are times in your life and different ways in your life in which you feel pushed one way and pulled another. Do you guys ever feel like you're just being stretched? And you feel like you've got responsibilities here and you've got things you got to do over here and expectations from some people over here and responsibilities over here, and you're just being pushed and pulled in so many different directions. Anybody with me? Yeah, wait till you have kids. It's just like, good Lord, they pull every limb you have and push every button you have in Jesus' name, right? And so you just kind of, as you live life, you experience that, hey, there's some push me, pull me. And when it comes to our spiritual life, there's some push me, pull me too. We talked about the last few weeks, some of the internal push me, pull me's that we experience. We talked about being double-minded, right? Like, because sometimes what we think is honoring God, and then we start thinking stupid, right? And so you feel the push and pull, like, oh, I know what I want to think, and I know what I should be thinking about, but then I start thinking about stupid things that I shouldn't be thinking about, and there's the tension there, right? And then we talked about the tension in our emotions, the push me, pull me that we experience in our emotions, and we get all up in our feelings sometimes, right? And some of you are up in your feelings because I called you out for being up in your feelings. Like, and that's when you know you got a problem, right? And the problem is we're just very emotional people, which is fine. That's the way that God made us. But we also need to remember that our emotions don't dictate who we are. Our emotions don't dictate our decisions. Truth dictates our decisions. And so we talked about all of that stuff. And then last week, we talked about the push me, pull me, the tug of war that we experience between our spirit and our flesh. Like, there's part of us that wants to honor God. There's part of us that wants to do what's right. And then there's another part of us that's all about us. And it's all about pleasure. And it's all about bringing you satisfaction in that moment. But it doesn't think long term. And so there's this constant tension, the push me, pull me. And so this week, we're going to switch it up just a little bit. We're going to look at an external force that causes some back and forth, that causes some push me, pull me. How many of you guys remember do you call those rhymes or riddles or kids' song, right? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but the words you say will never hurt me. And that is quite possibly the biggest lie that has ever been created by parents, because parents made that song up, right? Because your kids came to you because they were upset because somebody said something about them, and somebody said something about their mama, and now they're all upset, and they come to you, and so the parents are like, all right, how do I get out of this, right? And they're like, all right, sticks and stones, they might break your bones, but the words that people say, they will never hurt you. And that's just not true, right? We're smart enough to know that the words that people say have a great deal of influence over our lives. It's got power. It's got leverage in our lives. And so what we're going to look at today is how to deal with the push me, pull me with respect to the opinions, the words, the thoughts that other people have toward us. And so if you're awesome and you're macho and you just don't care what people think about you, then the door is right there. But for the rest of us, right, like, here's the deal. Like, this is something that affects, I believe, every single person. If you're just incredible enough that the thoughts and opinions of other people don't affect you, then I'll just give you the microphone and I'll sit down and listen to what you guys to say about it. So that's what we're going to look at today. And more importantly, we're going to look at how to find some stability in spite of or in light of what other people think about us. So the first point is this, and because we're doing push me, pull me, we're going to call this one pushed up. Pushed up. The first story in our little case study, it's kind of, if you look at what we refer to as the Holy Week in Christianity, it starts with Palm Sunday, And so kind of the event is the triumphal entry. And so if you've got a Bible and it's got little headers or above the paragraph, it may say something to that effect. And so what's going on here is Jesus is coming back to Jerusalem, and he knows that this is the time in his life in which he's going to be betrayed and he's going to be crucified and ultimately become the atonement for our sins that way. And so as he comes back to Jerusalem, this is the story that takes place. This is what we celebrate as Palm Sunday. It's found in Matthew chapter 21, verses 6 through 11. And this is what it says. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. And that was, they went and got a donkey and they brought it back. And this is a really cool story. So if you ever need to borrow something, then this is how you go about it. Jesus told them, he's like, hey, go to a house. You're going to find this donkey and you're going to take the donkey from somebody else. And if they ask you, what are you doing? Just say, the Lord needs this, and they're going to let you take it. So that really nice car you've got, the Lord needs this, right? So I'm going to borrow that from you. And so anyway, they went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd, somebody say large, spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees, that would be the palm trees, and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed. Like he's surrounded by crowds of people. You see what's going on? And so this is what they shouted. They shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Exclamation point, right? So they're like, they're pumped. And then the next phrase, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, exclamation point. And then Hosanna in the highest heaven, like, and all of the crowds, the people in front of him and the people behind him and the people around him are all yelling these things to Jesus and about Jesus. And so when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred, or you could say shook, right? The whole city was stirred, and they asked, who is this? And the crowds, Jesus didn't answer the question. The crowds answered the question, and they said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. And so what's going on here is essentially there's a lot of hype, right? You've got the crowds, the mob mentality. They're like, Jesus is awesome. Yeah. And they're shouting. It's not like they're shouting culturally trendy phrases like, you know, you would at a concert, like, this is so lit. They're shouting, Hosanna. And what that means is, it means save us. And so it's not just a trendy phrase that they're throwing out. They're making a declaration in their praise that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he's here to save us. And they're like, Hosanna! Lit! Lit! Right? Every junior high girl says, lit, fleek, slay. Lit, fleek, slay. It's like, one-third of their definition or their vocabulary is lit, fleek, slay. And I don't know what the other two-thirds is, but that knocks out most of it. And so they're making a declaration and saying, Hosanna, that this is the Son of God, and we believe that he's come to redeem us and rescue us. It's the Messiah that we've waited for generations and generations. And they're really excited about it. Everybody's excited about it. Jesus didn't even have to, there was no self-marketing going on. The crowds was advertising for him. Everybody was like, that's Jesus. He's the man. Have you seen the things that he's done? He's a baller. That's what the crowds said, right? So they were rolling out the proverbial red carpet for Jesus. And so as he's going down the road, you know, the proverbial red carpet just happened to be cloaks and palm branches, right? They're making a way for him, and they've got all these incredible things to say about him. And I don't know how your mind works, but when I read a story like that, my mind goes to, I wonder what Jesus was thinking, right? When you've got all these people around you who are telling you how incredible you are and how awesome you are and how good you are, and you're the man and you're the woman and you can do no wrong, I wonder what Jesus's mind was thinking as all of this stuff was taking place and all of this hoopla was going on. He doesn't seem too bothered by it. It's not like he's like, no, stop, 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 stop. If it were me, I'd be like, that's right. That's right. Keep on coming, right? He doesn't seem bothered by it. He's not shutting it down. He's not stopping it. But he also doesn't seem inflated by it either. He doesn't seem like his head's getting too big for his donkey. Right? It doesn't seem like that there's, you know, his head's getting so large that he becomes unbalanced and falls off of his donkey. His head can't fit through the door because it's so overinflated. So we're going to talk about inflation just a little bit, right? So with a basketball, again, being March Madness and all, there is a certain inflation range at which a basketball is usable. Have you ever played basketball with a basketball that had too much air in it? Like you bounce it and it's just like, bang. Of course, these floors aren't great. Have you ever seen Flubber? Anybody? All right. At any rate, these are what happens when you grow up in the 90s. You're a 90s kid and your mind goes to the dumbest movies. And so there's a certain point at which you have overinflated the basketball for use. And so once it's got too much air in it, I don't know if this is going to work or not. I don't know why you have to lick the needles, which is probably really unsanitary. Because who knows who else has licked the needle, right? And so you're so awesome. You are the man. And you start to believe it, right? You start to think and you internalize what other people say about you, and you just think, you know, I am the man. I am awesome. You listen to too much Tony Robbins and self-help stuff. There's another movie, it's a kid's movie called Jonah, and this guy's listening to like these self-help tapes, and he's like, I am a skilled metal worker. I did not know that. And so you start to believe the things that people say about you. Like, you're just, man, you're so incredible. Like, there was a time in my life, I was at a staff meeting one time. I used to be on staff at a church, which is probably funny to some of you that I didn't get fired. I'm impressed too. And so we were going around the room at the staff meeting, and all of these people, for whatever reason, at this particular staff meeting, they were just telling Shelly and I how awesome we were. Man, you guys are the best youth pastors this world has ever seen. And I'm like, do you know me? That was my initial thought. I think I'm letting more air out than putting in. And so the point, that didn't really work. The point is that we can't get overinflated by the opinions of other people, right? Because you've seen this happen, right? You see people who just, man, their heads literally swell up because of the opinions of other people. But Jesus, he doesn't get bothered by it. He's not shutting it down, but he's also not affected by it. He's not changed by it. He's not becoming an arrogant person because of all of this attention that he's getting. And so kind of as we get a glimpse into what he does, it gives us an idea of how we should respond to adulation, right? When people are giving you extra amounts of attention, respond like Jesus. Like, don't shut it down. Be like, no, that's not true, right? Because that's just weird. Like, give me a compliment, quick. You're all, no. Right? You don't shut, that's just weird. But at the same time, you don't be like, yeah, that's right. You know I am. There's a way to go about it, right? Don't let the opinions or the words of other people inflate your head too much, right? There's a range in which you're useful. If it's overinflated, you're not much use to anybody because you're just so consumed with yourself and you only think about the way that things make you feel and how is this going to affect your big head. Right? There's a balance to all of this, right? Overinflation makes it too bouncy. Overinflation makes it so that if it doesn't go completely in the net and doesn't hit the cylinder, if it hits the cylinder and it's overinflated, that thing is flying off the rim. That's just the way it works, right? Unless you can make buckets, I don't do that. I use the rim a lot. And so that's kind of one way to think about it. And I have some experience with pressure, with PSI. I have a plate in my arm to prove that I understand overinflation. And that's a long story, and I'll tell you about it later if you want. It was a Canon, really awesome experience. Saved 6 people or something. So the danger of putting too great an emphasis on what other people think about you is this. You're putting you're kind of placing the power of your life and your feelings and your emotion in the hands of somebody else who is often very volatile. Right? Have you noticed that people are somewhat flaky? Ever so slightly. You are too. It's okay. We all are, right? Like, so we're all a little bit flaky, right? And so it's a bad idea to place kind of that much power into the hands of somebody else if you're dependent on their praise to you. You're dependent on the attention that they give you. You're putting a lot of power in the hands of volatile people. Like, because people aren't always going to like you. And then what are you going to do? And even if they do like you, they may forget to tell you. Husbands, right? Like, sometimes we just forget. Like, there are some people that I love, and I'll think about them, and I'm like, man, I love that guy, right? And then I won't ever tell them. And if they're dependent on my attention to them or my words to them for them to feel good about themselves, then they're screwed. It's not a good place to live. It's not a good way to go about your business. I think the key is to, like Jesus, always remember who you are and what you're doing. Right? It's not dependent on what other people think about you. It's not dependent on the opinions, the estimations, or the expectations of other people. What matters is who you are. You are a child of God, and what you're doing. You're doing His work. You're doing His business. That's what you're here for. That's your purpose in life, is to do what God has created you to do. Everything else is just secondary. It's ancillary, right? It's, yeah, sure, we'll go about that stuff, and we'll be about that stuff, but that's not my main thing. The main thing is the main thing. All right, good. Glad you guys are with me. So ultimately, we're seeking the approval of one person and one person only. That's what inflates us. What does Jesus think about us, right? That's what should motivate us, and that's what should keep us kind of, you know, even killed, is what does Jesus think about us? Not what other people, what do they think about us? So that's what it's like when we're pushed up. There are probably less times where you're pushed up and more times when you're pulled down, which we'll talk about in a minute. But just in case, if there's ever a situation where you're just getting a lot of attention and you feel like people are just, man, you know, this is really cool, I like it. And it's dangerous because, you know, we like likes. You know, we get dope. Literally, our brains respond to likes like drugs. It's the same centers of our brain that light up when you're doing drugs is the same parts of your brain that light up when you're getting likes on Facebook or follows or, you know, Twitters or whatever, shares and Instashams and Snapchats and these things, right? So when all of this stuff is going on, it's lighting up the part of your brain that would light up a drug addict's brain. And so we like likes, and so it's important to understand what happens when that's what you put more emphasis on as opposed to who you are. So if you're pushed up, just remember that. The second one is, what are you going to do when you're pulled down? This is the push me, pull me, right? The push me, pull me. On the other side of the equation, we're going to look at what happens about a week later if you continue the Palm Sunday story, right? So after the triumphal entry, the people that were yelling, Hosanna, and save us, and Jesus is the man, a week later, we're yelling, crucify him. What? Like, how quick did that happen, right? How fast did that story turn around? And here's the problem. Had Jesus been dependent on the adulation of the crowd, he never would have followed through with the plan that God had for his life. He never would have done the mission that he was here to do if it was all about what other people thought about him, if he was fueled by the adulation, attention, and kind of praise of other people, right? That's not what matters. That's not what we're here for. Again, it's the audience of one. Luke chapter 23, verses 1 and 2, it says this. Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate. And they began to accuse him. The ones that were yelling, Son of David, save us. We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Messiah, a king. Funny, because a week ago you were claiming that he was Messiah, a king. And how things have turned. And not only that, not only are you being hypocritical and kind of subversive here, what's really going on is you're a liar. And what we need to understand is that you will probably at some point in your life experience lies. Has anybody ever lied about you? Right? Has anybody ever lied about you? Man, I don't know about you, but when somebody lies about me, my blood starts to boil. I get hot. I get upset. I get a gun. I don't do that. But man, it's one of the most frustrating things in the world, because you know what the truth is. And they're saying something that's not true. And so we'll talk about that again in a minute. Luke chapter 23, verses 18 and 20. A few verses later, it says this. But the whole crowd shouted, away with this man. Release Barabbas to us. And so if you want to know who Barabbas is, Barabbas was a murderer. And so they had this tradition that this time of the year, they would release one prisoner of the Jewish population to the Jewish population. And so Pilate was like, hey man, I could convince them that we're going to release Jesus, who hasn't really done anything wrong. I find no fault in this guy. So let me release Jesus to them. And they're like, no, we don't want Jesus, who hasn't done anything wrong. We want Barabbas, who is a murderer. Release to us the murderer. That would be like the exchange. Hey, we don't want Mother Teresa to come out of prison. Give us Charles Manson. But to an even greater degree, because he who committed no sin is the one who was in prison. And he's the one that they're not going to release, but they release to us Barabbas, the murderer, right? This guy who led an insurrection and killed innocent people. That's the one that we want. And so this is what the crowds asked for. And so verse 19, it says, Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Verse 20, wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, gave them another opportunity, but they kept shouting, crucify him, crucify him. 1 week earlier, Hosanna! Save us! You're the Messiah! Lit! And then a week later, kill him. We don't want him. We don't need him. We don't like him. He was never part of my life. He was never part of my crew. I don't need any of this Jesus stuff going on in my life. Kill him. Get rid of him. And the crowd, it says, the whole crowd shouted, give us Barabbas. We don't want Jesus. And it's amazing that a week before, there were crowds of people in front of him that were going before him. There were crowds of people behind him that were following, and they were all shouting, hey, this is the Son of God. And a week later, crucify him. And so the moral to the story for us is that as quickly as this story changed, the story's changed just as quickly today. You will find some people in your life, inevitably, once you live long enough, if you haven't experienced this yet, it's coming. If y'all want to be honest, right? There's, unfortunately, and unbelievably, the story changes that quick for us too. There will be people in your life who one day you think are your biggest fan and your best friend. And the next day, crucify him. Right? Maybe not those words, but why not? You might as well. Because they stab you in the back or they say things about you that are not true. I had a situation about, a year or so ago. And, you know, you've got keyboard warriors these days. And here's what's amazing. Like, I didn't realize that I had pissed so many people off. Apparently. And I didn't know it until one person got brave on the keyboard and started typing some stuff. And then all of a sudden, all these other people jumped in and just, I upset a lot of people. And I had no idea. I had no clue that all of these people hated my guts. And I'm just like, cool. That's good to know. And you know what I wanted to do? What I wanted to do was tell the truth, right? Like Jesus, I'm sure when they're making all of these accusations against him and hey, he's not paying his taxes. When just before Jesus told everybody, hey, give to Caesar what's Caesar's. This is not the truth. The truth is, this is what I've said, this is what I've done, this is how I've lived, and what you're saying is not the truth. But Jesus didn't respond. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to respond with the truth. Well, let me tell you what really took place. And let me tell you all the things that I really did for this person. Let me tell you all the ways that I went so far out of my way to help them. And this is the response that I get. That's what I wanted to do. But here's the thing. When you wrestle in the mud with a pig, you both get dirty, but only one of you is having fun. That's just the way it works, right? Have you ever wrestled with a mug in a pig? I hadn't done it. Sounds kind of fun to me. So maybe I'm the pig. I don't know. Unfortunately, you're going to find in your life that there are people who love you one day and they hate you the next. And you need to know how to respond to those circumstances. You need to know how to carry yourself through that, because let me just tell you for sure, straight up, this is how it is. It's devastating. Because you care about people, right? You love people and you invest yourself in them and you give them parts of your heart, right? And they take it and they take this part of your heart that you've given them and they just chew it up and spit it out. And it's like, that really hurt, right? My heart is kind of sensitive. And so you need to know how to respond when this happens to you. I was reminded just how devastating the words of other people can be in our lives this week. My daughter, is Ty in here? I'm sorry, you might want to leave. I'm going to talk about you. My daughter turns 16 tomorrow. No, we are not celebrating. This is like a funeral. So I'm wearing black, all black tomorrow. It's a bad day. And so just without going into too much detail, my daughter is, she's an incredible athlete. She's pretty. She's a model, basically. Shelly's like, she's a model, but she's pretty. So I don't know what that means, but just figure it out. And so this week, she had a track meet. And so 2 or 3 weeks ago, she had a track meet in Gladewater, and she just smoked it. She runs the 200. I'm still faster than her. I will always be faster than her. As long as the races start side by side, I will always win because I will knock her down. And so she ran the 12th fastest time in the entire state in the 200. And that's all classifications, like 1A through 6A. Do they still have 1A? I don't know. So anyway, she's a great athlete. She's a great track star. And this week, we went to a track meet on Thursday, and we drove an hour and a half to God knows where, like in the middle of nowhere. And I thought we were going to get abducted by some strange animals. I didn't know. And so we get out there, and so she runs her race, and Shelly and I are just watching. We're like, who is that? Like, what? I don't even know you, right? Like, you look like my daughter, but you're running like my son. He's not in here. I can say these things, right? And so afterwards, long story short, we kind of found out that, you know, some people had been talking about her, right? People had been saying some stuff. And then because she's a female, I guess, she internalized all of that stuff very much. So much so, the power of the words of other people had affected her physical performance. Like, think about how powerful that is. And we know how true this is. Like, when somebody says something about us, like, I don't know what your response is. Maybe you're a duck in water, right? Maybe it just goes right off. But I go to bed at night, and I'm like, man, I wonder if that's true. I wonder if I really do that. I wonder if I really act like that. I wonder if I really treated them like that. And so I start to internalize it. And if I internalize it, it affects my face, because my face is kind of like, I've got this look, like, don't talk to me, because I'm thinking really hard, which is a very difficult thing for me to do. And so what people say about us has great power in our lives. And it's just important to know how to respond to that. And the answer to that question is respond like Jesus. He had every right to respond to their false accusations. He could have said it straight. He's like, you can't handle the truth. But you know what it says? It says that he allowed himself to be led silent, like a shepherd going, you know, kind of before getting sheared and all of those things. And matter of fact, being slaughtered. So that's how Jesus responded to the false accusations. You can't correct a fool in their folly. Go read the book of Proverbs and you find out how finicky it is to even try. And so Jesus, he could have unleashed the fury of heaven. It talks about how there were legions of angels just waiting, sitting on the edge of their seat, ready to attack at the word that Jesus said, hey, this is too much for me. I'm sick of these people lying about me, and I don't want to go through all of this. Listen, do you hear what they're saying about me? But he didn't do it. He didn't respond. He didn't retaliate. And so I think when people talk about us, when we feel pulled down, don't do it. Nobody, listen, you don't win. It's kind of like in a marriage. Oftentimes we like to argue and we like to win. But if you win, you lose. Nobody wins, right? It's a lose-lose, not a win-lose. There's no winning and there's no losing. Choose instead to keep your hand to the plow. Right, keep your head down. Stay on the path that God has called you to. Stay on the course that He's called you out of the old life that you lived and onto this new course, this new path, this new journey that you're on. And it doesn't matter what people say about you. Be who God has called you to be. That's what matters. Don't get pulled down into the mud playing with pigs. Amen? All right. I want to close today with some thoughts on just how to overcome the push me, pull me in our lives that we experience with the words of others. The first one is this. Jump around. Jump around. Jump up, jump up and get down. Jump, 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 jump. Everybody jump. Jump, 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 jump. Everybody jump. Jump, 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 jump. I'll serve your ass like John Mac. Hey, you busted a coconut. Is it any good? Are you guys here for the Palm Sunday party? You're a little bit early. Can I finish? No? Get off the stage. Let me finish. Take your coconut. Good hands. Wow. You ever seen a coconut? All right. Z, I'm pretty disappointed. I expected greater from you. So I do want to close today with some thoughts, just quickly, on how to overcome the push me, pull me that we experience with the words of other people. The first one is this. Remember, you're never as good as they say you are, but you're never as bad as they say you are. I don't know where, I think I heard that from a coach one time, some point in my life, or Bill Polian on ESPN. I don't know. You're never as good as they say you are, but you're never as bad as they say you are either. Right? Just remember, hey, when people do give you attention, and I hope they do, because there are times in your life where, man, hey, maybe you're putting in some extra work, maybe you're trying really hard to improve in this area of your life, or whatever the case is, it's awesome when people notice, and I hope they do. But just remember, when they notice, stay humble. Don't get overinflated. There is a point at which you are no longer useful if you're overinflated, right? We can't use you if you're overinflated. But at the same time, you're not as bad as they say you are. Don't get so deflated, Tom Brady. Don't get so deflated that you can't be used either, right? There's a range of usefulness. And so remember, you're never as good as they say you are, but you're never as bad as they say you are either. The second one, remember, your words can either inflate or deflate. See, when we have talks like this, I think what we tend to do is we put ourselves in the recipient's seat, like how other people's words affect us. And sometimes we forget that our words also have the same effect on other people, right? Our words inflate other people. Our words deflate other people, especially those that are closest to us. I have this unfortunate tendency to be more harsh with people who are close to me, which is so, like, how stupid is that, right? Like, I am the nicest person in the world to complete strangers, but I could be a jerk to my wife and kids. Shelly, stop it. She's like, good thing. Do you have anything to throw? Good. Just remember, hey, your words inflate and your words deflate. You've got the power of life and death in your words, and so use them well, use them wisely. Look for ways to encourage other people rather than criticize other people. Speak to the potential in people. Like, be observant enough. Like, I think if we're honest, we're smart enough to take some time and find the good qualities that people have and focus on those rather than being just like everybody else. And how easy is it to find the faults and flaws in other people, right? Talk to me for 3 seconds and you'll find 10 of them. It's really simple to do. But it takes a little bit of time sometimes to find the good qualities and the good characteristics, but do that because it's worthwhile and you can inflate them, right? You can get them to a place of usefulness where God can use them because they believe that he loves them and he cares about them because somebody else in their life does as well. So that's the second one. Remember, your words either inflate or deflate. The last one is this. Remember, the cross is your validation. I think on some level, every person in this room is looking for approval and validation, right? That's where we get so messed up sometimes. That's why the words of other people have so much power in our lives, because we are looking for validation and we are looking for approval. Everybody wants to be liked. Like, sociologists will tell you this is true, and we do the things that we do because we want to feel two things. We want to feel known and we want to feel needed, right? We want people to know us, and we want to feel like we matter to them, that they need us just like we need them. And so when we are looking for validation, remember that the cross is your validation. If you ever have any doubts about how valuable you are, how significant you are, what your worth is, look to the cross. Where God gave his very best, where God gave his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins, to exchange your sinful life for his sinless life, his perfect life. And so if you're ever in one of those, because here's the deal, man, you're going to have one of those days where everything just seems to go, golly, man, can I catch a break? Right? And you got all of these different things going on, and the first thing that's going to happen is it's going to start a war between your ears, and you're going to start to wonder, man, why is this happening to me? Why am I the only one who's going through the things that I'm going through? Can you believe? And then you start to determine your worth based on your experiences. Like, well, if I'm going through this, I must not be worth very much, right? And God must not love me very much if I'm struggling with this, or if this circumstance happens, because we've got this weird slot machine mentality of God, like only good things come out of him, right? Sometimes there's some adversity that happens too, but that's a whole nother series that we'll get to one day. But this is the summation, right? If you ever have any doubts about your value, if you ever need to feel validated, don't look to the words, opinions, or estimations of other people. Look no further than the cross. That's where it's proven. It says in Romans chapter 5, it's like, hey, God demonstrates his love to us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died on the cross for us. It says in the book of John, it said, hey, there's no greater love than this, than someone would lay down his life for their friends. And then it kind of goes on to explain, it's like, hey, we probably wouldn't even lay down our lives for a good person, much less a bad person. But Jesus, in his love for us, in his validating us, while we were still sinners, died on the cross for us. Amen? That's your value. That's your worth. That's where you find your significance. Don't get pushed and pulled by the words and opinions of other people. Remember, that's what keeps you even kill. Let me pray for us. God, you are so good to us. You're so much better than we deserve. God, as I just think about my life and think about all the stupid things that I've done, and that through that, God, daily, your mercies are new every single morning. God, as surely as the sun rises and the sun sets, your faithfulness to us is demonstrated. God, I pray that you would help us. God, I know this is not an easy thing. It's easy to talk about, but much more difficult to do. God, that we wouldn't allow the opinions or words of other people to change who we are, but we would be changed by what you think about us, that our value is found in you and you alone. God, if we're having one of those days where we get in our feelings a little bit, God, and we start to wonder how much we matter, and if you could really love us, would you remind us of what you did for us on the cross? Would you remind us, God, that you showed your love in the most incredible way by giving your life for us? Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. We love you so much. And it's in Jesus' incredible name we pray, and everybody said, amen.